It's Saturday, the 27th of June. The morning is quiet. The kind of late June quiet where the week has finally exhaled. And I've got a fresh pot of coffee and a stack of reading that, for once, all seems to be pointing in the same direction. Saturdays, I like to look back before I look ahead, so I'll walk the week first, and then bring you the four things that came in overnight, pour yourself a cup, and let's get into it. So what was this week about? More than anything, it was the week the question of who gets to release a frontier model stopped being abstract and turned into signed orders and vetted lists. That thread didn't start this week. It goes back to the government pulling Anthropic's two strongest models a couple of weeks ago. But this was the week it hardened into a process, and by this morning, it had pulled OpenAI into the very same frame. Let me trace it, because the through line is the whole point. On Monday, the story was the pushback. Cybersecurity researchers circulated a petition to reverse the export order that had switched off Anthropic's newest model, arguing that the people who actually defend networks were being cut off from their best tool. The same day, Dean Ball, who helped draft the administration's AI action plan, joined OpenAI to build out a frontier policy team. A quiet signal of how seriously the labs are taking the regulatory turn. By Tuesday, the conversation had moved to method, with Gray Swan's Zico Coulter and Matt Fredrickson walking through what red teaming a cyber-capable model actually looks like in the wake of the Mythos restrictions. On Wednesday came a genuinely clever technical answer to the same pressure, a paper on tiered language models. Open weights that hide their most sensitive capabilities behind a secret key. An attempt to square open release with capability control, done in SC. And then, Friday brought the other shoe, with reporting that the White House had asked OpenAI to limit its forthcoming model to vetted partners before any public release, which is exactly where this morning picks up. Both of those arcs resolve at once, and I'll come back to that. Running right alongside the control story, was a hardware story, and honestly, it produced the single biggest item of the week. On Thursday, OpenAI and Broadcom unveiled Jalapeno, the company's first in-house inference chip, the clearest sign yet that the largest model builders want off their reliance on NVIDIA. It didn't stand alone. Earlier in the week, NVIDIA's own Rubin platform went fully liquid-cooled, targeting near-zero water use in the data center. Qualcomm agreed to acquire Modular, the company building a unified software layer across AI chips, for nearly $4 billion. And on Friday, IBM showed a two-layer nanostack chip it says keeps the transistor roadmap alive for another decade. Put those together and you get a week where the compute substrate underneath all the model news was visibly in motion. New silicon, new cooling, new ownership of the stack. The third thread was agents, and it was steady. All week. On Wednesday, DeepMind published a serious piece on what it calls the coming agentic economy. What actually happens when millions of agents start transacting with one another? The same stretch brought a wave of harder benchmarks, Enterprise Claw Bench, built from real workplace sessions, where even the best configuration left a lot of headroom, and Nature Bench, where AI coding agents matched the published state of the art. From Nature papers on under 18% of tasks. And on Thursday, Google quietly shipped computer use as a built-in tool inside Gemini 3.5 Flash, folding browser and screen control directly into a mainstream model. A few things sat a little apart, but are worth holding on to. The Nobel laureate John Jumper left DeepMind for Anthropic early in the week, and a long documentary went deep on AlphaFold's architecture and where it breaks down. An immunologist described using GPT-5 Pro to crack a three-year-old T-cell mystery that had stalled in the lab, and Anthropic kept turning up in the business pages, accusing Alibaba of an industrial-scale effort to extract Claude's capabilities and showing up in credit card and search data as the fast-gaining name among paying consumers. So that's the week. Control, compute, and agents with the labs racing forward on every axis, even as the ground rules for shipping their best work get rewritten underneath them. Now, with that arc in mind, here are the four pieces I came across overnight, because this is the morning the week's biggest questions finally got their answers. First up, the one I'd open the resolution with. OpenAI previewed GPT 5.6 and shipped it locked down. The model arrives as a three-part family. Sol is the flagship, the frontier tier. Terra is the balanced middle, and Luna is the fast, cheap, high-volume option. But the headline isn't really the lineup. It's that OpenAI did not release these broadly. Access is a limited preview, restricted to a small group of trusted partners inside Codex and the API, and the company said plainly that the constraint is there at the request of the United States government. Sam Altman said they'd originally planned a wider launch and pulled it back to a preview after the government asked, framing the effort as building toward a transparent, reliable early access process, while still trying to reach general availability quickly. The reporting around it put the initial pool at roughly 20 approved companies, with room to expand within a week if testing goes well. On raw capability, OpenAI is positioning Sol as its most capable model yet for coding, for cybersecurity, for long horizon work, and for science. Sol's top configuration was reported at just under 92% on terminal bench 2.1, and the mid-tier Terra was described as the first flash-sized model to clear 80% on that same test. The pricing tells you how they're thinking about the tiers. Sol runs $5 in and $30 out per million tokens, Terra about half of that, and Luna cheaper still, which puts Sol above Claude Opus 4.8 on output cost, but well under the older Mythos. There are two new runtime ideas worth noting, a max reasoning mode for longer deliberation and an ultra mode that spins up subagents to attack complex tasks in parallel. And it'll run on Cerebra's hardware in July at up to 750 tokens a second. The part that ties it to everything else this week is the safety framing. OpenAI says it spent more than 700,000 graphics processor hours on automated red teaming, followed by weeks of human red teaming, and that under its preparedness framework, the model improves at cyber tasks, but does not cross what it calls the cyber critical threshold. In browser exploitation tests, it found the building blocks of an exploit, but did not autonomously chain them into a working one. And notably, OpenAI pushed back in public, saying it does not believe this kind of government access process should become the long-term default because it keeps the best tools from the people who would use them. Moving to the second story, which is the mirror image of the first. The same morning, OpenAI shipped its model under restriction. Anthropic got one of its models back, partway. 2 weeks ago, the government forced Anthropic to pull its two strongest cybersecurity-oriented models, Mythos 5 and Fable 5, after security researchers showed the guardrails could be bypassed without much effort. D. This week, the Commerce Department changed course on one of them. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick wrote to Anthropic's chief compute officer, Tom Brown, saying he had determined the right safeguards were in place to let certain trusted partners use Mythos 5 again. The shape of that permission is the interesting part. It is not a return to the open market. It is redeployment to a defined list. More than 100 United States government agencies and companies, specifically the ones that operate and defend critical infrastructure. And it quietly undoes one of the original order's sharpest edges, non-American employees, both at those partner organizations and inside Anthropic itself, had been cut off entirely, and now they are allowed back in. Fable 5, the more heavily protected version that had actually shipped a couple of days before the ban, was not addressed at all and stays off the market for now. Anthropic said it had been working with the government since the 12th of June to restore access, that Mythos 5, its strongest cyber model, can now go back to those critical infrastructure organizations, and that it is still pushing to widen access and to bring Fable 5 back for general use. Semaphore and Reuters both reported the details. Here is why I am putting these two stories side by side. Strip away the company names, and you are looking at the same mechanism applied to both leading labs on the same day. A government determination, signed, addressed to a named officer at the company, deciding which specific partners are allowed to run a model. Access granted to an enumerated list, rather than offered openly. Also, the strongest variant held back pending further assurance. that looks much less like a product launch and much more like a licensing regime, the kind we associate with controlled technology. Whatever you make of it, the structural fact is clear. The distribution of the most capable cyber models is now something the state actively shapes. And as of this morning, that is true for OpenAI and Anthropic alike. Third up, a change of pace, a piece of writing rather than a release. Dwarkesh Patel published an essay called The Next Paradigm, and it is the clearest articulation I have read of both the bet the labs are making and the wall that bet might hit. The bet is this: if you train models on millions of verifiable tasks across thousands of reinforcement learning environments, you will get general problem solving. The ability to grind on an open-ended task for weeks through errors and ambiguity. And that gets you to something like general intelligence. The optimist's view is that the supposed deficits of today's models, the data inefficiency, the lack of learning on the job, all get steamrolled by scaling that training. The same way, the so-called fundamental problems in language processing simply dissolved under enough compute. Patel's sharper contribution is a concept he calls grindability. His point is that it is not enough for a task to be verifiable, for you to be able to check whether it was done right. It also has to be grindable, meaning you can run thousands of parallel attempts against a deterministic, replayable simulator. Coding and math are grindable. You can spin up 1,000 agents, each with an identical copy of a code repository, and let them all attack the same problem. Computer use is the puzzle. It is obviously verifiable. Did the item get ordered? Did the form get filed? And yet, progress on it has been slow. The underrated reason, he argues, is that it is not grindable. You cannot point 1,000 bots at the same checkout flow on a live website. You will get detected and shut down. You would have to build high-fidelity clones of every app, which today is slow, manual work. The implication runs in both directions, and it is why this connects to the rest of the morning's reading. Once models get good enough at coding to build those high-fidelity clones themselves, computer use should accelerate fast, and building the clones is itself excellent training for coding. But for huge swaths of what a general intelligence would need, running a business, winning a court case, trading profitably, there simply is no replayable simulator to grind against. That is the canyon wall. And it lands right on top of a cluster of papers I am seeing today on policy distillation and on turning a model's own progress into a training signal. All of them chipping at exactly this problem of how a model learns from its own experience. And for our fourth and final story this morning, back to hardware, because the chip that anchored the whole week deserves a closer look on its own. OpenAI revealed Jalapeno, its first custom inference chip, built in partnership with Broadcom. With it, OpenAI joins Google, Apple, and SpaceX on the growing list of companies designing their way out of total dependence on NVIDIA. The framing that stuck with me is that this is less the clean break and more a hedge. Custom silicon buys you control, hardware tuned to your own workloads, and the kind of compounding advantage Apple unlocked when it walked away from Intel and started designing its own chips. And notice the word inference. This chip is built for the serving side, the part of the stack where the costs pile up after a model is trained, every single time someone actually uses it. Designing specifically for inference lets you throw out the generality you do not need and optimize for the things serving actually stresses: memory bandwidth, the links between chips, and low latency token generation. That is a different problem from training, and it is the part of their own bill OpenAI is trying to take control of. On TechCrunch's Equity podcast, the hosts dug into what this trend means more broadly. The strange compounding loops of AI compute and a slate of deals worth watching, including a humanoid robotics company getting ready to test the public markets. But the through line is simple enough. The biggest model builders have decided that owning their silicon is worth the enormous cost and complexity to cut their reliance on a single supplier, to control their own margins, and to tune the hardware to their own models. I would add one piece of context, because it is easy to overread this. NVIDIA is not going anywhere on the training side anytime soon. Its software ecosystem and its raw throughput are still very hard to beat where the models are actually built. So Jalapeno and the chips like it red as an attempt to claw back the serving half of the economics, not to replace NVIDIA outright. Every one of these companies is still buying NVIDIA by the warehouse for the training runs. But if this pattern holds, and after this week, with IBM and Qualcomm and NVIDIA's own moves all in the same news cycle, it clearly is. It reshapes the economics underneath the entire data center build-out. And that is the quiet story sitting under all the louder ones. Okay, so where does that leave us this Saturday morning? Two of these stories were the same event seen from two companies. The moment when releasing a frontier model became something a government signs off on, partner by partner. One was a careful argument about why scaling alone might not carry us all the way and where the real walls are. And one was about the silicon being quietly re-poured underneath all of it. Capability, control, and the cost of compute. Those were the three forces pulling on each other all week, and this morning they all showed their hand at once. There is much more in the full digest if you want to go deeper, including a long run of research papers I could not fit. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday with me. Sunday is a dark day on the feed, so I will see you Monday morning. And until then, I hope you get to step away from the screen for a while before the next week starts pulling. Pray for four.